don't see, it just seems to me that Phoenix constantly is a victim of its own syntax.
Okay. It's okay.
Terrible. The term that they used for all other words, eliminated, was that it?
Neutralizations. Well, they started out with eliminations, and then it became neutralizations.
Well, I had more more trouble with people who could only interpret that word to mean one thing, which was really got mad. So I thought, we're sitting around drawing up death lists and executing people, which seemed, it was clearly at that point, anybody in the United States wouldn't believe any enormity about what was going on in Vietnam. There's just no question.
Any personal reasons for wanting to get into intelligence work?
If you've been around in 52, it was a pretty sinister time. I was telling my wife the other day, it was rather interesting, that summer session 1950 in Columbia.
Mm-hmm.
You may or may not recall a thing called the Korean War started in June. The numbers of cancellations of people around the country, this is particularly true of their teachers' college, of course,
mm-hmm.
that canceled and were not going to show up in New York because New York obviously was ground zero for the bomb.
The bomb, okay.
Now these are educated people. These are people doing their doctoral and master's work at mm-hmm. a place like Columbia that obviously just must have thought that we wouldn't make it through the summer. I think there was a great feeling amongst a lot of people that we were in for a thing that did become the Cold War,
yeah.
And which, thank God, was contained. But at that point, no one could really tell what the outcome. I thought it just seemed to me that for the foreseeable future, like it or not, the problems in Europe, Asia, the problems that we were having, certainly would have with the Soviets, as you know, the Chinese are just 49.
It's just, yep.
The GMO just moved to Taipei. So it looked like it was a growth industry.
Can you tell me when it is that you get to Vietnam and in what capacity?
Yeah, I went to Vietnam in summer of 64.
Okay. And were you part of the station?
Yeah. I took over amongst other things, a lot of responsibilities that I had, and it included a small training camp down in Vung Tau, which had, I suppose, maybe 100 students, run by a very dynamic guy.
Was that Bob Eschbach?
No, Americans there. This was, I'm talking about Vietnamese.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Would that have been Chow?
No. Chow was much later. This is Lê Duẩn Mai. What it had been, it was a camp that had been owned by
Was it Vietnamese?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was a, he was a politician, he was a, what he had done is he had interest in Vung Tau, and they had a, what the hell do you call it, a workers something or other, that kept the road from Vung Tau open with troops on weekends so that, the French could come down and people could use the Vung Tau resort facility.
Okay.
So this was his camp just outside of Vung Tau.
No.
the camp was sort of up for grabs. And we got it, we the station, in a deal, and had Mai there on loan from the Army. He was a captain, and another captain. What the hell was his name? Captain Fock.
Fock. P-H-O-U-C?
Fock. P-H-A-C. Another one.
Oh, okay.
And they two were on the camp. We had an Australian Army captain who was seconded to the station. And he was running it as a Western presence. And I went down, took a look at it and what they were doing, and I was mighty impressed.
How big of a facility was Vung Tau at that time?
Oh, it was small. We probably had maybe 100 students here.
And these are people for RevDev, Revolutionary Development
Teams? This is an early program called the Armed Propaganda Teams. And these are small. These were 12, 14 man teams. They're trained in small unit tactics, mostly evasive tactics. But their basic thrust was in propaganda.
Is it okay to give me an example of what these people were trained in? What a particular tactic would be?
Oh, yeah, well, basically, they were just trained in light weapons. We had, they had men and women. And their military side was really pretty minimal. It was really just, how to defend yourself before you get the hell out of there.
And that would be what the Aussie would be teaching, would be the
yeah,
weapons
that's right.
And that.
Sure.
But Mai would be teaching the political.
That's right.
What about the political? What
well,
is
we
it?
Had, we had political stuff. We had medical. We had some. It was really pretty much of a of an armed social working element, which was pretty much the basic thrust of the whole thing. I concentrated just about all my efforts and got rid of most of the other stuff that we had responsibilities for, and. We began to move very, very rapidly. We began to build up the program with more officers coming from Washington, DCS.
Permanent change of station.
Yeah. Then I began looking for a means of expanding it. And my opposite number in the government Minister of Security, I guess. Is that right? Justice Security.
There's Interior, there's Justice.
Interior Minister, pardon me.
Okay.
Interior Minister.
Because I think Minister of Interior handles security.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so I went.
Do you remember who that was?
Oh, listen, there were 13 governments in 18 months. How the hell could I?
Okay. All right. Forgive me for asking, but I...
My official act was to make a call on the minister, whoever he was that week.
Okay.
Introduce myself, brief him, and when he found out that there was nothing he could steal from me or any hashish in it,
okay.
I was dismissed, and that was the end of that. It was a very nice arrangement. But the first guy I had, I kind of got interested in him. He hung around long enough to see if there wasn't something he could get out of me. And I said, I worked out a deal with him that I wanted space at Vung Tau. And he said, fine. So I worked out a deal of getting a huge hunk of the peninsula ceded to me. With the official chops and the whole schmear. So we began to develop the concept of putting a training program together, expanding it. During that summer, we had some units up north, not many, but we had some up in
Was Tucker Googleman one of the people?
No, Tucker was not there that early. Tucker was in another program. He was in the police side of the thing. There were two major programs in the station. One was the police, and the other was the cadre program. I had the cadre program, and then later Tucker took over that program. But I mean, at that point, he was up in Da Nang.
You get maybe two dozen instructors, and they are also, and now you're, instead of having 100 students, you're going to have maybe 1,000 students?
We bought the seminary. The seminary was really just a stopgap. This guy had this huge piece of property. So then we started building our camp. So we built a camp for 5,000. I'll tell you, we built that in, I think we opened that up the 15th of January.
65.
Okay. It was a hell of a building. It was spectacular, really. Now, what we were doing, you see, the whole point of this was to use these people. So my job, I was also at the same time traveling the country, selling the program to province.
Okay, this is what Jim West said.
I'd get up to, I'd go in and sit down with the province chief. I worked the whole country. Okay. So when I went in to see a province chief, I would go in to see a military officer mm-hmm. who was a product of a mandarinal system mm-hmm. who didn't have a political bone in his body, but had political responsibilities that were beginning to become apparent even to the untutored. So my deal was to go in and say, if I got a deal for you, no, I really did go in and say, look, this is the problem, as we see it, that you're facing. the next line down is district.
Yeah.
Under the mandarinal system, which everyone accepted, it was nobody's business in the province what was done. It was the province chief when they had been civilians, and the district chief when they had been civilians, were supplanted by military.
Mm-hmm.
But for generations and generations, centuries and centuries, what was done was that whatever funds were around were expended the way whoever was the leader thought they should be expended.
Okay.
And he really couldn't care less about what some grubby little old peasant lady in black pajamas had to say.
It was the king's influence ends at the village gate. System, and you're trying to get them over that system say that you got to get in there to those inside that village gate because that's where the Viet Cong are.
Yeah.
Okay, and the way to do that is to have these RD cadre go in. Okay.
So my deal was this: I said, look, we do this on a handshake, old boy.
Okay.
If you're willing to enter into a program whereby you use these people in the way where they've been trained and the way we have designed the program, we will feed them, pay them, equip them, just as long as they're used properly.
Mm-hmm.
If you decide at any time that they're a hindrance rather than a help, you give me a call, 30 days, we'll get them out of here. If I decide that you're not using them properly, or they're being misused, that you're using them as a palace guard here in the province, or whatever, I will give you 30 days notice and pull them out.
Okay.
And that was the agreement. It was that simple. Nothing in writing, nothing went through the central government. I had the central government approval on this, period.
Right.
Go and do as you see fit.
Okay.
So what I would then do is I would take an agency officer and stick him in the province.
Okay.
And tell him, find a place to live, get some sandbags, we'll try to get you some Nung guards, stay alive,
mm-hmm.
and then he was responsible for direction of the teams, payroll, logistics, the whole thing.
Can you tell me a little bit about what these particular programs were?
Oh, Well, in Kinwa, obviously, we had small teams. We later beefed them up as the training became a possibility. But, Well, Census Grievance, for example, started in Kinwa. Census Grievance was probably the most sophisticated program in the whole goddamn country. I think it's spectacular.
I'd love to hear about it. Now, how do you set up, what's your model for Census Grievance that's developed in Kinwa?
All right, Census Grievance, everybody knows that governments always take the census.
Okay.
You go back to Bethlehem. So, what's better than to set up a census? Okay. So you have a guy who would do a map of every house, hut in the village, put everything into perspective, and then the edict was put out that once a month, every head of household had to talk to the census grievance officer.
Okay. Now, so, and that's a member of the of your armed propaganda team at this point?
Well, basically what we did in Kinwa, we had a special group that ran census grievance. What we tried to do was to get somebody who was from the village, someone who was an older, we were looking for retired teachers. We were looking for retired civil servants. We were getting older people. Which made them all the more harmless in the eyes of anybody. Were gone.
Would they be people?
The session scaled down and had three questions, number one.
Okay.
What would you like the government of Vietnam to do for you? And here you get the simplest of things. You get the bridge. You get, a road, you get whatever. But at any rate, the second question census grievance, well, I would ask is there anybody in the GVN giving you a hard time?
Okay. Is the policeman taking money from you when you go to Montana?
Right, are you being, are you paying a little toll every time you have to take your rutabagas in?
Okay.
And, okay, so you've asked the first question. If this guy listens and he finds that X number of the people say, Jesus, we really do need a bridge, or we need a this, or we need... You begin to get a consensus.
Okay,
there is money allocated. There is no question that the U.S. government was pouring money into that place. But if, as long as it went for the wrong things, you might just as well have kept it back here. So the point that we would make with a province chief and with a district chief is that, okay, this is what is actually needed. This is a political need. If you are responsive to it, people will look at you in a different light. So we were running a coaching school for army officers, for district chiefs, and for province chiefs. But of course,
in budget, how big?
Oh, I suppose somewhere between I've never told anybody this figure before. I don't know why.
That's okay. I mean, if you know.
When I left Vietnam, my budget was about $28 million a year.